Welcome to Adults Do Disney. I'm Lawrence.
And I'm Lindsay.
And we are two Disney nerds talking about doing Disney parks without children.
That's right. So this week we're going to talk about Epcot. Why are we talking about Epcot?
Well, we've always thought that Epcot is actually the most problematic of the Disney parks.
Yeah, in terms of consistency throughout the park, unifying vision, identity, essentially.
It's having a bit of an identity crisis.
I think it's always had an identity crisis.
Yeah.
I mean, Walt originally wanted it to be, Epcot stands for the Experimental Prototype Community of Tomorrow. He actually envisaged it as a city.
It was to be an entire city with a completely new way of living. So people would live there, they would work there, they'd go to school there. The whole thing would be a functional unit.
Yeah, the kind of monorail people mover thing that transports people around the city, the town, makes it look like a very small version of London with the Underground in a way, doesn't it?
I suppose so. Yeah, so he envisaged that everyone would get around the city using the same transportation options which are now used to take people around the park and also to take people around Tomorrowland. The people mover was how Walt originally envisaged that everyone would get about in this city.
Yeah, and actually how the cast members are hidden nowadays, which is in which is underground, isn't it? The reason why you never see Cinderella walking back from her lunch through the park is because there's a load of underground connecting tunnels under the park. So that's actually how Walt envisaged Epcot being, but the underground section would be traffic and deliveries.
Yeah.
So that overground was this kind of leafy paradise.
Yeah. He wanted to make a kind of perfect town.
Yeah. It looked like pre-car towns, I guess.
I suppose so, yeah. So he wanted to hide all of the dirty, unglamorous stuff underground.
Sounds like Morlocks and Eloy.
It is rather. It's slightly H.G. Wells. But obviously that never happened, and he never lived to see what Epcot would become, which ended up being a sort of two-park park and with no real clear identity.
I think the main thrust of it is supposed to be education.
Yeah. It's supposed to be science and sociology and human history and human development.
It's literally everything, though. It's air, land, sea, space.
Yeah, it's too
the
big.
The past, the present, the future.
Yeah.
People, animals.
And so so 50% of Epcot is given over to the World Showcase, right? Which is a nice idea. But the other 50% is this future world, which is actually has quite a small footprint, especially when you consider the amount of stuff it's trying to be crammed in. And it's very inconsistent the way it all fits together.
They obviously don't want it to be like Magic Kingdom's
Tomorrowland.
Yeah. But they called it Future World. So there's going to be probably a bit of an uncomfortable, if it's not about the future, then what is it?
Okay, so you have things like Soarin' isn't really about anything very much. It's just a nice flight over America.
Let's look at the world from a high up, eagle's eye view.
Yeah. You have Spaceship Earth, which is a kind of history of human development and technology, isn't it?
Yeah, from the wheel to the telephone,
computers
to
and things.
space travel, blah, blah, blah.
You have Mission Space, which is a kind of trip into space. You have Test Track, which is a thinly veiled... just a car ride.
I think they basically went, we need some rides.
We need some rides.
Everyone wants a ride.
So let's put in a thing and claim that this is an...
about forces and engineering, car mechanics, something
like that. Essentially, it's just a fast ride.
Yeah.
It used to be different. Now that it has the Chevrolet sponsorship, they changed it all up and now it's got a slightly different flavour to how it used to have. But essentially, it's always just been a car ride.
They have one of apparently the best fireworks displays, but I can't help but think that they've had to do that to kind of compensate for the rest of the park.
Yeah, what, the illuminations
that happens
over the World Showcase.
Yeah, but it's in dire need of renovation, isn't it? But that is actually what's happening.
They are doing that. What I want to know is, are they going to change our particular favourite attraction in World Showcase, which is the thing in the Interventions Pavilion where they basically show you an interactive, essentially roofing materials video about how to provide the best roofing solutions for a bungalow if you live in Orange County.
Yeah, it's like a Storm Windows promo, isn't it?
Yeah, so you sit in a tiny cinema with the most bored-looking cast member in the world who...
They're doing their best, like they all do, but there's no hiding the fact that they got the worst job in the park.
They got the duff gig, really. Yeah, and you basically learn about why you shouldn't close your windows in a storm, or shouldn't open your windows in a storm, or something.
Yeah, which is particularly strange when you're coming from outside of America, or outside of storm paths, I suppose.
Well,
really.
I guess, yeah.
Because coming from little old Britain, which gets a bit windy, but people still talk about the great storm of 1987 happened in Britain that took a few roofing tiles off and things. Yeah. You know, we don't get anything, anywhere near as
dramatic.
The
last bit
dramatic.
Of extreme weather we had was 30 years ago.
Yeah, yeah. So the sort of dramatic weather that happens in America is interesting, but it's kind of weird to go, do you need storm windows?
But also, this is a little bit similar to what we said about our old friend the Carousel of Progress, about how it feels like more like an exhibit that would be in a kind of, you know, quite a fun science museum, an eccentric science museum, rather than a world-leading theme park.
Yeah, it feels like if you were a kid and you were doing this, it'd have to be replacing sitting at school and doing double math for it to be math.
Remotely
even said
interesting.
American.
Yeah, math, yeah.
Maths.
Mathematics.
Yeah, you'd feel like, oh, brilliant, I'm getting out of school. But, you know, when you're not in school because you're an adult, yeah, you sit there going, this is weird.
I paid $100 to come into this place and watch a roofing video.
Yeah. I mean, it was kind of funny when it was the two of us, but remember when we were showing your father and his partner around?
Yeah, yeah.
And there was a part of me that was just like, oh, we're not convincing them that this is the most magical place on earth.
No, it really didn't feel like the creme de la creme of Disney entertainment, that park.
Yeah. So what are Disney's confirmed plans for the future then?
Okay,
and when is this going to happen?
Well, so Epcot is about to turn 40 in 2022, I believe.
And that's why it's having an identity crisis.
Yeah, it's having a midlife crisis and buying a motorbike.
Yeah, it is.
So they have announced a major upheaval of a lot of things. So there's going to be a complete rethink and redesign of the Future World section of the park. It's not clear what's going to be moved or be replaced, really, at this stage. But things that we do know that they are going to do is Ellen's Energy Adventure is going to become a Guardians of the Galaxy attraction.
Yeah, see, that's stretching. I'm really happy that there's going to be a ride. I'm all for rides, but mm-hmm. that's really stretching the whole education element.
Well, we don't even know if it's going to be a ride or not. We don't know exactly what kind of experience it's going to be.
Right, it must be a ride. I suppose it could be...
It could be a cinema, because it's replacing a sort of cinema-based attraction.
True. Oh, yeah.
So we don't know even if it's going to be a ride.
Well, that really does feel a bit weak.
It does.
If it's a ride, I'd be so on board with
yeah.
that. Although I would still be like, what's your identity,
but it
Epcot?
Doesn't fit.
And why isn't this in Hollywood Studios?
Yes, exactly. And the same question could be asked of another thing that's confirmed, which is the Seas exhibit, which has the huge aquarium and the slightly lackluster Finding Nemo dark ride in there, is going to get a retheme, and it's going to become the Marine Institute from Finding Dory.
I mean, that's cool.
Which sounds cool, but...
Why isn't it
in the Animal Kingdom? But
why?
Exactly.
It's well, I bet what it is they don't want to have to shift it, one.
Yeah,
and
well,
two, they're still trying to drag people into Epcot, and kids are going to be like, I want to go to Frozen. Like, Frozen has replaced Maelstrom, hasn't it?
Yeah, Maelstrom, which was a very beloved Epcot attraction, got replaced by Frozen last year. And they didn't... This is what... The thing with Epcot, it feels like they're cutting corners a lot of the time. Why would you replace the most beloved attractions with other attractions which will also be beloved? But it's like you lose one in, one out.
Because they look for the cheapest way to do it, I bet. Must be, mustn't it? Because the same track and everything can be used,
the same
screens.
The Frozen ride is exactly the same track layout, or not track layout, but boat layout. The ride itself is completely unchanged from how Maelstrom was. It's just got a Frozen overlay now.
It also, like I said, it feels a tiny bit cynical, because a kid, as we know, Frozen massively popular, and a kid, if they knew there was a Frozen attraction, would be like, oh, let's go to the Frozen attraction. And suddenly their parents have to buy a ticket for Epcot, when previously they might have stuck to the three other parks.
They might have skipped it, and they probably would have had a better time.
Because why isn't Frozen in Magic Kingdom?
Yes, completely. It should be in Magic
Kingdom.
Yeah,
leave Maelstrom where it is.
Yeah.
Put Frozen where it belongs in Magic Kingdom.
Yeah, yeah.
Put the animals in Animal Kingdom.
Yeah.
Put Guardians of the Galaxy in Hollywood Studios and decide what Epcot is supposed to be.
But at the moment, it feels less like Epcot and more like Offcut.
The offcuts.
They're all there.
Where do we put this?
Speaking of which, what on earth is the deal with the Grand Fiesta Tour with the three Caballeros? Which is the very limp Donald Duck themed ride in the beautiful Mexico Pavilion.
Oh, the Mexico Pavilion. It promises so much on the outside, and when you go onto the inside, and there's this nighttime marketplace.
So you come in, and there's a beautiful restaurant in this, this sort of Mexican marketplace.
It's like what is it on the outside? It's an Aztec pyramid, isn't it?
And then you go inside, and there's a big pyramid inside as well, and there's some dense jungle. And it reminds me a little bit of Pirates of the Caribbean.
I can't remember that.
You can see the boats coming through.
Oh, yes.
There's a big pyramid. They've got a pyramid. They've got a fake sky going on.
And a restaurant overlooking it. Yeah. And there's a little fake marketplace, isn't
it's
there?
It's gorgeous.
Well, not a fake one. You can actually buy stuff in the marketplace.
It's really gorgeous. And as you say, it promises so much. Yeah. And then you get on the ride.
And then you get onto the Three Caballeros ride. And it feels like something out of a carnival, doesn't it? Or it's there's something fairgroundy to it, I think.
Well,
you know, the sort of... It's a boat ride, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a boat ride with some projected Donald Duck silliness.
And some little tableaus as you go through. It feels like the kind of ride that you get at the seaside in Britain. It does feel a bit Pleasure Beach, Great Yarmouth. Mm-hmm. Obviously to a higher spec.
Yeah.
But it's not up there with the rest of the Disney
stuff.
It's
pretty unsophisticated, isn't it?
Yeah. And that replaced something else, didn't it?
Yeah, I can't remember what was there before, but there was another boat ride there before, which presumably was something Mexico-themed.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Again, it all feels a bit half-assed,
half-cocked, doesn't it? I mean, another thing that they've announced is that Ratatouille is going to replace the Impressions of France attraction in the France Pavilion.
Well, that makes sense because Ratatouille as a film is about a French restaurant.
Yeah.
And seeing as the whole of the World Showcase is about...
It's eating.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just a load of restaurants, essentially.
Yeah, yeah. Which, should we talk about what we would do with the park yet? Or do you want to mention Inside Out attraction?
Yeah,
this is rumoured.
This is not confirmed, but it's been rumoured that Journey into Imagination with Figment... would be re-themed to have an Inside Out theming. So that makes a lot of sense as well. There is an example of how you would keep some of the sort of proposed identity, the original identity of Epcot and Future World, would be you have the characters from Inside Out telling you about how your brain works rather than a purple dragon.
And that was the original Figment, wasn't
it? Yeah, Figment. Figment is a sort of cartoon dragon who guides you through the inside of your head.
Mm.
But that makes sense. That seems like a way that they could really beef up the content of that park without losing sight of the idea that this is supposed to be about learning and science and education. So if that did get announced, I think that would be a good thing. I can't see how they could make Guardians of the Galaxy anything other than just fun.
No, I can't. Although I assume that's going to be allied to a space education.
Well, the location of it is it's very near Mission Space.
Right.
So, that would be kind of the space exploration section of the park, maybe.
Yeah.
Perhaps.
Yeah. Still, the identity is a bit...
It's still pretty weak, isn't it? So what would we do? What do we think would transform Epcot?
Right, well, going back to what I was saying a minute ago, so the World Showcase bit, it is all restaurants. So why do you have to pay to get into that? So I would actually separate that from the rest of the park and have that as free entry. So a bit like
Disney Springs,
yeah. Because otherwise you feel like you're paying to get in there and then you're paying to actually use any of the facilities.
And it's not cheap. Let's remember it's $100 or so to get into any of these parks.
Yeah, and then the restaurants themselves aren't particularly cheap either.
No.
And there's something that people do called drinking around the world. So they'll go to the different areas of the World Showcase and they'll have the national drink of that particular area.
You would get smashed.
Absolutely smashed.
And there's like 15.
You would also spend...
A lot of money because none of it is cheap.
Yeah. I mean, forgetting the entrance fee in the first place. But that's the thing. If people could use it like they'd use Disney Springs, it would be buzzing as well.
Yeah, yeah.
It would be great. It would be really fun.
It makes sense to...
You could afford it as well.
Yeah, you could. So you're saying we get rid of the rides in there. get rid of, this is completely out of, you know, this is pie in the sky ideas, but you get rid of the rides that are in there.
Well, you could have the rides, but you could do it like they originally did, as you told me, that Walt originally had it so that it was free entry to Disneyland in California, and you paid for each of the individual rides. So you could, so you go into the restaurants, you go into the bars, that's all perfectly fine. And then if you want to go onto the
frozen,
rides.
Frozen ride or whatever. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there was a thing in Disney Springs up until very recently, it's just closed, called Disney Quest, which was a sort of big arcade type thing with simulators and so on. And that had a separate entrance fee as well. Mm. So maybe that could be a similar thing for these Frozen
rides. Yeah, that's what I'd do anyway.
That's what you do.
And as for Future World...
Yeah.
I don't really know, to be honest, because if an Imagineer hasn't sorted it out, then what hope have we got? But yeah, it just needs a more focused identity. So maybe strip some of the things out. So yeah, put the sea stuff in Animal Kingdom, like we said.
Yeah.
Put Guardians of the Galaxy in Hollywood Studios.
Yeah.
It can't all be storm windows, though, can it?
No, it can't be. It can't all be storm windows.
So what would you do? What would you do?
Well, this is the thing. I firmly think it is possible to reinvent the idea of it being a science and learning themed park, but still using Disney's intellectual property like Inside Out. There's no reason why...
Well, Inside Out definitely fits.
Yeah.
But what are the other films that would fit an educational element? Because really, you could be educational with any of the Disney films.
Mm-hmm.
Like the princess ones. They're all based on 18th, 19th century French stories,
yeah,
aren't they?
Hans Christian Andersen and
oh,
Grimm,
yeah,
Grimm
and
Brothers.
And the Scandies and everything.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
Yeah, so you could then take it back to its origins and give people a bit of a history and lesson. And,
yeah.
Cultural history lesson.
But then let's think about what Walt originally called it. He called it Experimental Prototype Community of Tomorrow.
Okay.
Which is, you are in danger of getting into Tomorrowland territory with this as well.
Yeah,
you?
Although they're talking about communities, so maybe it should be more cultural. So if you've got the World Showcase just there,
mm-hmm.
then why not make it more about the different cultures of the world and, you know, how they've evolved... cultures from, you know, hundreds of years ago, mm-hmm. cultures of today, and make it more focused on people.
So it feels actually like you're saying Spaceship Earth is sort of maybe a good blueprint for the feel of the park, isn't it? Because that is about the history of humanity, the humanity's inventions and how it has all developed and what might happen in the future.
Hmm.
It's only very brief, but then Judy Dench at the end tells you,
here's some ideas about what could happen. You'll go to work on a flying car.
Our overlord Judy Dench.
Yes.
Well, there we go. Maybe that's an idea. It's just, I don't know. It just needs a bit more of a unifying identity.
Yeah.
That's my belief.
And at the moment, it's pretty limp.
Yeah. At the moment, I feel like it's trying to drag people to it. With little tricks, like
cynical
having
tricks.
Frozen.
Another interesting thing about Epcot is that you can't book a fast pass on the same day for Soarin' and Test Track.
Why not?
Because they have tiers. So you basically, when you...
There will be tiers.
There will be tiers. Welcome. Let me tell you, there'll be tiers. So when you go onto your My Disney Experience app and you try to book your fast passes... It'll say you can have one of these experiences and also one of these experiences. And the list is set out in such a way that you can't book a fast pass for Soarin' and Test Track on
That's
the same day.
That's probably because there's not enough there. There's not enough in Epcot, so everyone goes to the same two rides.
Well, that's it. So they know that if you could book a fast pass for both Test Track and Soarin', you'd go in, you'd do those, you'd spend... an hour there and then leave.
Yeah, and then you twiddle your thumbs going, is that it?
Yeah, but instead you can book a fast pass for Test Track and the Three Caballeros. And you can book a fast pass for Soarin' and the Seas with Nemo and Friends. But you can't book both of them together. And actually, when we were there, the queues were such that there was only a 10-minute queue for those rides anyway. But Soarin' and Test Track had a sort of 90-minute wait.
Yeah. And do you remember how tired as well some of the restaurants and things looked?
Yeah.
They looked like conference centres.
They did rather. We ate in the China Pavilion, and it wasn't that great.
Oh, that wasn't too bad. But remember this kind of big fast food area that leads onto
Soarin'.
Yeah, that's
so that pavilion is the land pavilion.
Yeah, and it looked like a tired conference centre.
Yeah.
It's just like, what's going on, Disney? All the other parks are brilliant, and this one feels tired.
There's a lot of sort of 80s wallpaper and sort of polystyrene ceiling tiles, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
It all looks very brown.
It'll be very interesting to see what happens with it.
Yeah.
But I'm not... Well, it's going to have to do something else.
It's going to have to be pretty major, really, yeah, to turn that around.
It needs to basically tear a lot of it down and start again, if you ask me.
Very unpopular Disney podcast this is going to become.
Yeah, maybe, because actually, before we went there for the first time, we were told by some friends of yours, oh, Epcot's the best out of all four of them. So, you know, Epcot, actually, in its current incarnation, has big fans. They are not us.
Well, I think that's it, though. I think people like the idea of it, and the idea of it is nice. If you can make an educational theme park that is as fun as any other theme park where you don't learn anything, then that's kind of impressive and cool, right?
Oh, definitely.
But unfortunately, I think it falls short at the moment.
Yeah, it's trying too much.
Yeah.
Focus.
Focus is what it needs.
Okay, so I think actually we've come to the end of that. So what are we going to talk about next time?
Well, I think we should talk about, since we're on an Imagineering theme, some of the things from the past that are now gone, like Maelstrom, that are beloved rides that got replaced.
Yeah.
And obviously things have to change, and good on Disney for keeping everything fresh. But sometimes you miss things when they're gone.
Yeah. Okay, great. Okay, so that's next time. Right, we'll go now though. Bye-bye.
Right. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Adults Do Disney podcast. If there's any other things you'd like us to talk about, or if you want to tell us about any of your experiences as a grown-up in the Disney parks, you can email us at adultsdodisney@gmail.com. You can also find us on Facebook / Adults Do Disney and on Twitter @AdultsDoDisney.